This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we're halfway home on a Monday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great, great, awesome to be here with you this morning. Trying to be more positive in my daily life. With my kids and stuff, just be more positive in general. I can be a bit of a hard ass at home, and I'm trying to just be like, "Hey, slugger, how's your day?" It's not working. Made Bo take out the garbage last night, and you would have thought that I told him that he needed to lift a car off of someone. I mean, I hate it so much. I'm like, dude, come on. Got to put him to work, man. Got to teach him the work ethic. And it's not working so far. So I'm trying to be a little more positive at home. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor.
Good morning. Sometimes you try to bring that attitude to work as well. Maybe when it's not working as well at home to really you want to get, intense about things.
Yeah.
But Paul and I just kind of look at each other and roll our eyes.
When
and,
I get intense?
Yeah, when you just kind of, well, you just when you, you know. And try to be a little more forceful, maybe, in your in your direction.
Give me an example.
Just sometimes you come in and you feel like things aren't going the right direction, when really they haven't changed that much in the last few years, but you feel like, oh, we're in a rut, or we need to change things up, or we need to come up with a new bit, or we need to rework the show or change things. And we'll nod and we'll do that. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you guys 100% right. Neck F me to death.
And then we'll look and go, into him today? What's wrong with Woods?
I don't bring my work issues or my home issues here. Like if I'm fighting with Hannah or something, you're going to get the same person that you would have
got. Do you bring your work issues home?
Yeah.
What work issues do you have? That was a trick question. You don't have any work issues.
Yes,
you
do.
You work with two incredible colleagues. You've had an amazing run of success. We got a great building here. We got a great team. You don't have any work issues.
They're all internal, buddy. It has nothing to do with you. They're all internal work issues with my own.
We got a contract. We're good. No work issues here.
You know, it's the creative rut that gets you sometimes, and that's how I feel. And so, yeah, I do take that home, and I vent at home like I'm an idiot. This is terrible. Well, and you read enough online that you're an idiot. You know, you start to believe it after a while. So, but no, I'm trying to be more positive. And all right, what's with the watch?
People just want to see it on the chat.
It's insane.
I don't have to talk about it on the radio, but just I got a request on the chat to see the custom watch. That's one of the prizes for our golf tournament from Nixon. So I'm wearing it as a model today. I'm like, one of Barker's beauties, and I am.
You're exactly like one of Barker's beauties.
I'm showing off the watch to just drum up a little interest because you can come in, enter the raffle. And
yeah, you don't even have to be
come
playing.
To the tournament, win one of these incredible Nixon watches, customized, Ben & Woods. Third annual Chrome Tour Ben & Woods Open. It's coming up on Wednesday.
Adam says,
try not to be distracted so much.
Adam says, work issues. Still bitter about getting sunburned at spring training. I am. I am bitter about that. I am bitter about a lot of things. But, I'm trying to be more positive. I'm trying to be less of a hard ass at home.
Well, you came up with a new bit this morning, apparently.
Did I?
Yeah, surprised me on my way in, remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this was a good bit. And if you guys have noticed, we got a text from Adam over the weekend. He says, hey, is Stephen A. Smith now part of the, what did he call it?
The what are they wearing?
The what are they wearing as he walks into the arena
you
bit?
You see it with every star
athlete. Players. Yeah.
When they're walking into the tunnel, on their way to the locker room. The clubhouse, whatever.
Even like Luca in a polo shirt just showing up.
Yeah. Some dumpy khakis and flip flops on. Now I'll say this, man. Remember, I don't know if they do it anymore. They don't do it this year, right? With the Padres. I loved it. I loved when they were by the buses and the guys were coming out for a road trip. And, you know, Jake's always got his coffee cup. They used to have Paddock
like
walking
the,
out.
They still do some of the questions of the day.
Not that stuff.
Things.
The stuff where they're walking to get on the bus to get on the plane. And they're
you
all
you see
in
them
dapper.
Coming in. It's just not really
you see
going
them
out.
Coming in. That's right. You see them coming in for question of the day. Paddock walking out to the thing with his big-ass
buckle
and cowboy hat on looking like a
the problem goober. Is when you're not playing well everyone looks at that and goes oh
we don't want to see this
how about you win some games first that's before me. You that's the you show some swag
that's the incredible boomer
how many bits are just waiting in the wind
for like 6 wins in a row I know man it's got to be tough it's a thankless job for the social media
how about,
team
remember last year they had the piñata fest for like I don't know, 3 games, started in Mexico City in April. They won a couple of,
that's right.
They won a couple of big games when they got back to San Diego. And you saw the videos going around in the clubhouse. They're breaking the piñatas. Nelson Cruz leading it. And we thought,
we
can admit it now on the Ben and Woods show. We went out and bought a piñata.
We did.
And we were going to do a bit after a good show. We were all going to break a piñata and do a dance, just like the Padres did.
Yeah, I don't think they ever won another game.
They, never won more than 2 games in a row after that. We said, dump the piñata. Dump it.
I think it's sitting in a closet here somewhere. Adam probably took it to his kid's birthday party, if I'm being honest with you.
Well, you saw what the Mets' new bit is. They had Grimace throughout the first pitch, and they haven't lost since.
God.
Padres apparently are the victim of Grimace.
They got Grimaced.
They got Grimaced.
Yeah, but so Stephen A. Smith... is now they have him walking into the arena, sunglasses on, suited, booted, and people are like, why are you in there?
He's
what
got
is
paparazzi,
happening? Yes.
Media.
I get that he's a big star,
Stephen A. Smith has to dress up and has to arrive at the game. So at that point, I am not faulting him for arriving and walking
he's on
into
television,
the game.
He's got to look good.
You know, he's not filming himself. Other people are doing it.
Yes.
What I can fault him for, though, is the way he walks into the game. And that is... he is walking with a strut that he feels like he should be filmed as he's walking into the game. When that, I don't know, is the truth.
So we decided to film Ben as he was walking into work this morning.
I mean, it's identical.
Listen, though, if you're listening, there's also some audio. That's Wood slamming into the door. Straight backing into the,
I severed my...
Like the sharp end of the open door.
I severed my spine, just so you know, for that bit.
Well, it just backs right into an open...
Oh! It hurts so bad. I was the guy in front, backing up as Ben was walking in. Paulie's filming both of us. And then, bam, I hit the back of the door, severed my spine.
That's funny.
Yeah, look at Ben walking
I should have put on my pink suit like
look
Stephen
at him,
A did.
Look at him strut, dude.
God, me or Stephen A?
Him. He thinks he's on the team.
It's the walk that
it's
gets me.
It's the walk. It murders me. By the way, I did not know that door was there. It hurt like a madman. I was not expecting it to jump out of nowhere. But listen, you know.
Stephen A is walking like he's about to drop 40 tonight.
Yeah, no doubt.
And someone watermarked the ESPN logo like right in the middle of the screen as well. Because what? You want to make sure if people meme this up that they're getting their proper credit. Right. So Paulie did the same thing and put our Ben Woods logo watermark right there on the screen.
And it's a good segue, Paulie, because you mentioned the pinata. And yeah, we were like, oh, cool. If they go on some streak, we'll break a pinata and we'll just do a bit. We're a morning show. We like to have fun. We like to do bits and have fun with them. And one in particular has come back to bite us in the ass. And we just got a tweet about it 30 seconds ago from Schilt's Amusement Park, which is great. Worst thing to ever happen to the Ben and Woods program. It was us doing the friendship contract with Manny. They'll never hold him to the standard he should be. And I thought to myself, well, the worst thing that ever happened to us is when our radio station was unplugged and we didn't have a job. So a 30-second bit.
Second worst thing would probably be the pandemic.
Pandemic was pretty rough.
Home broadcasts for 4 hours a day with literally no sports.
Yeah, a 30-second bit. Is not going to define us. And I, you know, it's like I said to him, I said, look, you're taking a 30-second bit. You're blowing it out of proportion. Manny's been terrible this season. He wasn't that good last season. And he's got to play better for this team to go anywhere. But bits are bits.
I love the Manny friendship contract.
And guess what? He did too when we did it.
Well, I still love him. I don't mind. I mean, I think it's a good thing for our show. It's one of the best things.
It was just a funny thing.
Manny hasn't played well since the friendship contract.
He may be the one who regrets it.
But I have no regrets at all. I think Manny is still a very cool dude and someone that I'm going to keep rooting for. The disconnect is, of course, he is not producing. He needs to be better. I don't know if he is or not, but he's not beyond criticism.
Correct. No, he's not. He's been terrible this year. Absolutely deserving.
He's been terrible this year.
Corey says, if
he doesn't get better, you know, it's a bad situation. But they can't do anything about it. They're not going to trade him. You've got to keep playing him at this point.
Yeah.
I think the disconnect is, people then think because he's not performing that he's a bad guy or he doesn't care or you know he doesn't work hard. None of those are true. I'm not going to criticize Manny for things that aren't true. I think Manny absolutely is a smart ball player, cares about his team, wants to perform
cares
well.
Cares about San Diego.
I don't think the contract changed him at all. Didn't change him the first time he signed a $300 million contract. I don't think it changed him the second time he signed an over $300 million contract. He's not been playing well. He has been hurt. That is part of the factor as well. But that doesn't mean he's a bad guy or someone that is not worth cheering for as a player, as a fan. He's still Manny Machado.
And
he's just not getting the job done.
It doesn't absolve him of poor play. It doesn't absolve him of a 1-for-12 series series against the Mets at all. It's terrible, man. Terrible. You know, I had a chance to come through on Friday night. Didn't do it. Edwin Diaz laid one in there. Manny shook his head like it was a ball. It wasn't a ball. It was a strike, you know? So I just, listen, I ride with all these guys, though, man. I really do. There's not one over the other. I happen to love Manny. I think he's probably my favorite baseball player of all time. So it's tough, man. It's tough to watch your guys struggle that you like. Doesn't mean I'm not going to criticize him. He's been terrible. And he knows it.
We're also pretty close with Jake Cronenworth. He's had a good season.
Right.
You know, if he takes a turn for the worse, though, he's not above criticism either.
Yep.
You know, I'd like to think that the fact that we can respect ball players for who they are and, you know, how they treat people and how they work is different than a criticism of players for being ineffective for not coming through.
Look, some of the stuff I saw on Twitter this weekend was gnarly. I mean, it was gnarly. Like, it was, I don't even want to repeat it, give them any attention or oxygen, but some stuff that you saw and you went, Jesus, man, like, we have really, sports has become really toxic. It's tough to navigate that toxic environment sometimes. So, it's tough. But no, I mean, Corey asked if we could void the friendship contract. You can void it. It's fine. He doesn't care. Trust me. He couldn't care less. He'll be fine. Right? So we can put Manny Machado in he's out of the circle of friends.
Really?
Yeah, he's out.
Okay.
If it
helps him, then I would do anything for him.
All right, yeah. If that's going to help him.
And if abandoning our friendship is what turns him around, then I'm all for that. It's not going to change.
I think you're giving ourselves a lot of credit.
It's not going to change what I say about Manny Machado.
Correct.
I don't say nicer things because he signed a friendship contract.
No, not at all. Not in the slightest. Not in the slide. You think Ben gives a frog's fat ass about that autograph over there? That's changed Ben's
Zero.
Perspective? None. Couldn't care less. So,
not at all.
Again, man. Like, he had a crap series. He had a crap year. He's had a crap year and a half. You know, he's got to play better. It's just, I root for all these dudes. I root for Higgy. I root for Cease. I root for Vasquez. I root for Yuki. They have all, faltered and failed this year, all of them. So
I guess for me, and it's a little bit more bigger picture, the people that are sick and tired of Manny Machado, and it seems like there's a handful of people out there that just want him gone. That's not happening.
It's not going to happen. It's a fool's errand.
You know, we've talked about it like with Xander. A lot of people were like ready to just cut him, DFA him, get rid of him. That's also not happening. These guys are here for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to tell anybody how to fan. Nothing you say on social media is going to change the fact that both of those guys are here for the next 10 years.
You're driving yourself crazy.
You kind of have to just find a way to find peace with it. Otherwise, bro, I don't know what to tell you. Like, you're going to be miserable for the next 10 years. It's going to be a long decade.
All right. So I had one, I was playing golf this weekend, and a Padres fan brought up a scenario to me that he thought could save the franchise. And I'm going to let you know what this person said to me and then give you my reaction, what I told him on the golf course on Saturday morning about why he was 100% wrong. I know some of you will agree with him, though. We'll get to that coming up next. We're also going to give away some tickets to the best band of all time, Woods. The Doobie Brothers.
It's a stretch, I think.
Maybe a stretch. Maybe a personal opinion more than a fact. But in my opinion, definitely the greats. The Doobies coming up next after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Got Sam Levitt coming up at the bottom of the hour. And then Matt Strom of the Philadelphia Phillies, formerly of the San Diego Padres, having a terrific season, is going to join us at 9:15 ahead of today's series opener from Citizens Bank Park. Welcome back. Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. So I was playing golf on Saturday at the GOAT, and a Padres fan said, here's what the team needs to do.
Okay.
What do you think? Got these bad contracts. They need to get out from under.
Bunt drills.
No, it was not bunt drills. Said, you got one of the top prospects in the game in Ethan Salas. You need to offer Ethan Salas up. But the team that takes him has to also take, I think he said, Xander Bogaerts' contract. Entire thing. You know what I said, what do you get back? Nothing. You just use Ethan Salas to shed yourself of the mistake of signing Xander Bogaerts. And then, you know, you'll be out from under that deal and you'll have some flexibility going forward. And I there was a couple other people and they kind of nodded and I go, that doesn't work. First of all, that doesn't make your team better. It makes your team worse multiple ways. Because you're giving up one of your more valuable commodities in the minor leagues, maybe the most valuable commodity you have right now in the minor leagues, in order not to make your team better, but simply to save money over the next 10 years. So how is that going to improve your team? Now, is it possible that if you reinvested that money in other players who performed better, you could improve at some point? Sure. But there's no guarantee that you're going to then go out and spend that money on the right players. And then also, don't forget, Xander Bogaerts, as well as Manny Machado, has a full no-trade clause.
Correct.
So unless they want to go to wherever you're sending them, and there's no indication that either of them wants to leave. I mean, Manny's got a house here, just had a baby. He's not going to want to go anywhere.
Soccer team.
He's here. Yeah, he owns a soccer team here. Good point. Not going anywhere. So
yeah, it's
don't bring up trade possibilities or what the Padres can do. Live in our real world that features likely both of those players on the team for at least the next half decade and probably the full lengths of those contracts. You need to find whatever you can do to get those guys performing as well as possible.
Yeah.
Whether it's health or whatever you have to do strategically, analysis, whatever. The only path to success for the San Diego Padres really is
those guys getting
those guys playing at a better level.
That's
do they have to be MVPs every year? No.
No, but they
have to be way better than they've been so far.
No doubt. No doubt. And that really is the only path. I mean, there's no question. That's the only path to this team doing anything. And you can bring up, you know, you can bring up three more Jackson Merrills. You can bring up, you know, you can develop guys that turn into Dylan Cease or whoever else, you Darvish in his prime, whatever. Those guys got to perform. You know, those are two pieces in your infield, Benny, that are cornerstones. And if they perform, we have a shot. If they don't, we don't. It's pretty simple.
Yep. Agree for
yeah.
the most part.
I mean,
you can overcome one of them having an off season or off half season for a while.
But like, you know, with Tatis and Manny and Xander, you know, those are the guys that need to pull the lion's share of the weight. And right now, this series notwithstanding, it's only been Tatis this season, you know, and even, you know, he's had his ups and downs as well, but we've actually at least seen flashes of who Fernando Tatis Jr. can be. Rough series in New York. Rough series.
I mean, look at the Atlanta Braves. They looked completely like bulletproof in terms, at least in the regular season, with the amount of talent and offense that they had. Yeah. And now another Acuña injury and some guys who are not performing up to expectations. You know, they're struggling. I mean, yes, they are still first in the wild card race, but they're only, what, three games ahead of the Padres at this point. The Padres, who you all out there think are one of the worst teams in baseball, the Atlanta Braves, who most people say, oh, but they're one of the better teams. 3 games difference, right, between the Padres and the Braves or whatever it is right now. I mean, it's
that's the dumbest part.
They're struggling, too.
That's the dumbest part about all of this.
You struggle when your good players don't perform.
Correct, but the dumbest part about all of this is that we're fine in the playoff for now. I mean, we're still in it.
The Padres are still in it,
which is absurd.
Last playoff team in the National League at the moment.
What I text you guys, they're gonna finish 82-80.
82-80.
That's who this team is.
82-80 kind of looks like a dream right now, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, but we've said they are a 500 team, 81-81, 82-80. They'll back into the playoffs, probably lose 2 out of their last 3 and just somehow get into the playoffs. And then, you know.
See what happens.
Get bodied by the Phillies.
No, I mean, you see what happens. I mean, you get in. I mean, it's one of those things, though. At the end of the year, we have to remember, if they get into the playoffs at 82-80 because of a very weak National League, they're going to beat their chests about making the playoffs. We can't let them. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you go in and lose in the first round, well, hey, we made the playoffs. I know that's the goal, to get in and see what happens, get to the dance and all that, but... Man, it just, again, I'm
82-80, you got to make the NLCS at least for that to be a chest beating.
I'm just going to keep harping on Chris Ello's tweet. 173 and 173 in your previous 346. 173 and 173 in your previous 346. That's what needs to be looked at. That's what needs to be addressed. That's what needs to be remedied, whatever. That's not the mark of a good team. That's not the mark of a team that you feel like can get in the playoffs and do some damage. Now, again, it's kooky. It's weird. You never know. But, you know, getting into the playoffs would be great. It's fantastic. Playoff baseball, there's nothing like it. But you can't be like, well, we made the playoffs and we're obviously on the right track. No, man. The whole NL is a turd right now.
Brady makes a good point. He says the Braves getting swept by bottom tier teams.
Correct.
So that is correct.
Correct.
They did recently lose 3 of 4 to a pretty bad team, though.
Us. Yeah, us.
And they also lost 3 of 4 to the Washington Nationals. Who also have the exact same record as the San Diego Padres, one game below 500.
It's crazy.
So, and they're not exactly kings of the world right now in Atlanta either.
It's a stupid sport.
Yeah, it really is.
So, if your top stars don't perform, ask the Yankees a couple years ago. Now their top stars are performing insanely. And guess where they are? They're having a great season. But when they weren't, when Stanton was, you know, not healthy, when Judge was hurt, into the crapper that went the New York Yankees. But now that they're performing,
wow.
I did.
Wow. Spicy. Spicy, man.
I was a little spicy.
That
I almost said
spicy.
Toilet, and I thought Woods is going to make fun of me.
Yeah.
So let's just be spicy this morning. I'm wearing my Do the Show Midge t-shirt. It's Bad Boy Ben.
Bad Boy Ben is here.
Wow. He's here today.
Is it Marlboros rolled up in your sleeve there? What is that? Unfiltered? Unfiltered Camels? Look at this
guy. Actually getting to stare where they fall out.
He's got a barbed wire tattoo around his arm now.
Wow.
All right.
No one's spicier than Sam Levitt. Our Padres pre- and post-game show host.
Guys, we just got to been through the battles, man.
We will check in with Sammy when we come back. Oh, first, though, I've got to give away those Doobie tickets. Bad Boy Ben keeps the tickets for himself, but I'm going to give them away. A pair of tickets to
but
the Doobie Brothers.
Who believes?
We should have just had that as our sounder to call in to win. No,
yeah,
now's
true.
The time, Colin.
We got them all week. Maybe we'll
fourth
do that.
Caller. All right. 833-288-0973. Fourth caller wins the concert, North Island Credit Union Amphitheater on June 25th. Limited tickets remain at Ticketmaster.com. Good luck. First chance this week to win Doobie Brothers tickets, and then back with Sam Levitt next year on 97.3 The Fan. All right, congratulations to Julie, won the Doobie Brothers tickets. I think we'll just say it now. Listen all week long for the sounder to win. And I'll remind you every day, but it's me singing What a Fool Believes. And when you hear that, call in and we'll have more tickets
but
to give
what
away.
What a Fool Believes.
There's your sounder for the rest of the week. For Doobie Brothers
That's
tickets.
That's all you need to hear.
That's all you need
to
hear.
The rest of the week.
Keep a note. Make sure our number's programmed into your phone so you can instantly go right to it. Speed dial us, 833-288-0973, to win those Doobie Brothers tickets. All right, we got Sam Levitt standing by. In-season Sammy will join us after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. And we're joined right now by our Padres pre- and post-game show host. He'll be joining us for the EcoWater SoCal pregame show. Not too long from now, Padres and Phillies at 3:40 p.m., so that means 2:40 today for the EcoWater SoCal pregame show. Say hello to Sammy Levitt. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, guys. How you doing? Happy Father's Day Ben, Woodsy.
Thank you.
Hope you had a great day.
We did, man. You're out of your submarine. You sound fantastic this morning.
Risk it. I have bad service here in the apartment, especially if I go to one spot in my kitchen here in PB. But it's specifically this, like, half-mile radius in PB. The service is not great, so I was not all surprised that things got a little wacky last time. So, yes, we are on the Zoom. We've got the mic hooked up, the whole deal.
Yeah, his mission is over. He's returned to shore.
I like it. I like it. A lot of things to regret from this weekend. We talked a little bit about the opportunity to gain some ground on the Dodgers. One thing I hadn't brought up yet, Sam, though, is that when you look at the National League standings, and while we're about almost halfway through the season, there is a logjam of like nine teams separated by just two games. The more teams that are there, the harder it is to make the playoffs. And you had a chance to maybe change the course of the Mets season by having a good weekend and keeping them way at the bottom and thinking about the trade deadline as sellers. Now the Mets have no reason not to be one of the teams that's going for it as well in the National League, because the Padres got them right back in it with this weekend series.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt about it. When you just think about the Mets in particular, the Padres had a real opportunity to set them back. I mean, look, to the Mets' credit, they've been playing better baseball as of late. And if you would have asked somebody 2-3 weeks ago about what they were going to do as July approaches and the trade deadline ultimately approaches in 5-6 weeks, whatever it is now, I think it would have been a pretty confident answer that that's a team that's going to sell. But this National League is so wide open, and I suppose that what the Mets have done is maybe a bit of a good reminder that if you can put together a good stretch for a couple of weeks, you can change the fortunes of your season pretty quickly. And I guess in the Padres' case, that means you could go from hovering around 500 and still somehow holding a wild card spot to taking command of a wild card spot. So it's a good reminder of how quickly things can change if you can go on a bit of a run. But in the Mets' case, look, that's a team that, despite having a number of issues, also has a lot of star power on it. So, look, that's a team that if they keep playing well, is going to be in the mix. But everybody right now, aside really from two teams in the NL, are in the mix, which is good for the Padres because it means they're right there. But obviously it means, you know, you have a bad 7 days against two of the best teams in the NL coming up in the Phillies and the Brewers. You could all of a sudden, you know, find yourself way down in those NL standings. So I think a pretty crucial 7-game stretch coming up against some very good competition for this Padres team.
Talking to Sammy Levitt here on Ben and Woods, and you mentioned, you know, a run. We could go on a run. The promise of the run is what I think has been driving me personally. Can't speak for anybody else other than myself. The promise of the run is why my hair is now gray for the most part on the sides. You guys see? It's gray. My sideburns are gray. I'm gray. And it's because of that promise of the run. And you look at the players on the field and you go, yeah, yeah, those guys are capable of a run. Hell yeah, they are. You look at the pitching staff. You look at the back end of the bullpen. It's a no-brainer. We got all these pieces.
Production from the question marks.
Correct.
Like Profar,
yes.
And Merrill.
Yeah, the question marks producing. And you're like, this team is poised for a run. Sammy, we've been poised for a run since opening day of 2023. And it just hasn't come yet, really. And it's the most frustrating part.
Yeah, and I think it goes back farther than that, right? I mean, I saw the same number that Chris has been putting out with the 173 and 173.
Crazy, man.
Since
crazy.
Exactly 2 years ago. And look, I think if we're being honest about it, that's what they've been going back to June of 2022. You know, the numbers work it out where it all ends up being 500. But really, aside from playing well down the stretch in 22 and then having a great a few weeks in October, right, where they created some magic. And look, this team, I think, is capable of doing something like that again. But I thought your conversation, I only heard the 6 a.m. hour. I thought it echoed a lot of what I've thought recently about my own coverage of this team. And I thought it was a worthwhile conversation you guys were having.
Yeah, Benny blew me away with that.
Yeah, I think, you know, as I've just on a personal note, as I've gained more experience in this job, I feel like I've become a little bit more opinionated on what this team does day to day, week to week. And you'll hear that during our post game coverage every day, the way I open the show and whatnot. And I've just, to this point, I've just stopped kind of trying to string things together game by game, week by week, month by month, make proclamations about what they are and what they aren't, because it's really, really hard to do with this team. So, I've much more taken the last couple of weeks, especially a game by game approach of it, of what happened today. I don't know that that's going to have any impact on tomorrow, right? I don't know that there's going to be any momentum either way, right? When they got swept by the Angels, the world was crashing down. And meanwhile, they were able to bounce back with a 5-2 homestand. And we've gone through this carousel before of momentum where you just can't figure it out day by day and week by week. It just does not make a lot of sense. And guys, I've been talking to you on Mondays for the last two seasons. We've had this conversation how many times, right? About going in this circle. But I do think like the Phillies are a good example of, okay, when you look at the Phillies and, they're the team of the week here. But when you look at, okay, how does a team go on that quote unquote run? Well, you look at the Phillies who are 37-16 against teams with losing records so far this season, a team that's won 23 of 26 home games, a team who has a lot of stars that put up some really big numbers. And I think it starts to come together. Oh, that's how you go on the run. You play well at home. You beat up the teams you should beat. Your stars put up big time numbers. And, the Padres this season haven't, if you want to look at those three categories, really, they haven't done that, and they haven't necessarily received that for the most part. So, for me right now, I'm game to game. I'm day to day, and aren't we all?
Yeah, right? Day-to-day. Good. Day-to-day.
Game to game, and we take it from there because I'm with you guys. It's a hard team to figure out day by day and week by week, and it's been that way for a while.
I'm glad you said that. We're talking to Sam Levitt, our Padres pre- and post-game show host, because I was just about to offer up some unsolicited advice.
Oh, boy. Oh, no. Here we go again.
Which, if I offered it to you, Sammy, usually the answer is no, thank you. I will pass.
Go for
on
it.
On the unsolicited advice. And I won't tell anybody how to fan, and I won't really tell anyone how to media either, but I'll give you my experience. When you cover a baseball team, and I've covered the Padres for a very long time, it becomes very easy to get cynical about the whole process. And you see some of the more veteran members of the media become very cynical when covering the team. And I've tried very hard to avoid that. And I try to approach each season, really each game, as its own individual. It's a different group of personalities, different group of people. But it's very easy to fall into the trap that the San Diego Padres, they're underachievers. They're never going to get there because they haven't. So you just kind of assume that they won't. And I've really tried to remain open-minded and, approach it. Not overly positive necessarily, Woods, but
hopeful,
but remain at least open to the possibility that better things could be ahead. And I think that's why some people sometimes say I have rose-colored glasses or I'm not tough enough on the team. No, I'm just open to the possibility that things can get better at some point when I see that. And I appreciate, Sammy, that you said that just take it day to day. Don't throw them away yet. It's too premature to do that.
No, you won't anyway. I mean, the loudest complainers are they're there every day, like we all are. I mean, I still build my day. What time's the game today? 3:40?
3:40.
Yeah, I mean, I've got I got a T-ball camp I got to do. I'm going to be hauling ass or watching it on my phone. Again, I still can't wait to see. But what I don't want to start tuning in for is the how will they blow this today? Because we have covered those Padres as well, and those aren't fun. Hey, how are you guys going to F this up today? That's also not a fun way to watch your favorite team.
Yeah, look, I fall in line with everything you guys said there, and Ben, what you said. I mean, yeah, I think as silly as it sounds, I think. If I were to give advice to a fan, not that you want to tell people how to fan, but yeah, it's like take it day by day, right? And look, I think what's unique about the Padres situation and is unique to them outside maybe other 500 teams, really two things, right? We've seen this story now for a while going back to last year. And look, I don't think we can kid ourselves. There is, I think, this season, for better or worse, I do think there is sort of the carryover from last year in a lot of people's minds, right? It's hard to shake last year. And I know in the first couple of months of the season, I said to myself, I said, how long can you talk about last year, reference last year, make the links to last year? But it happened last year, and the disappointment of last year happened. So I do think, you know, throughout the course of this year, there's going to be some of that. But, you know, look, I think what's tantalizing about this group is you just feel, and I think we all do, that there's more in there, right? And there's something in there that has not been unleashed over the course of the past year and a half. And I think that's why we all think, hey, you just got to get in, because number one, you feel like the talent's there. And number two, we've seen it before, right? Just in the last couple of years in 22, if you just get in what this group and what some of these guys can do. But yeah, I'm right now for me, I'm very much in the way I think about the team, talk about the team, you know, take it day by day. If the Padres beat the Phillies tonight, awesome. You're back to 500. You got to do it again tomorrow. But would it shock anyone based on what they've done over the course of the past year plus? If they had a really nice 7-game stretch against the Phillies and the Brewers, I don't think any of us would be shocked, because that's what, you know, that's what they've done in the past. So, day by day right now. And I think you hope at some point there's a pull away and a securing of a postseason spot, whether that happens in June or July or August or September, and you take things from there. But, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, we're sitting here on a Monday morning, and I think we can all sort of feel it. There's not always like the greatest answers, right? When you talk about this team or definitive answers or ways you can kind of figure it out, because it's been by the numbers and by the records and by all the different things you look at, you know, sort of inexplainable in some different ways over the course of the past year or so.
Sammy, enjoy the rest of your morning. The pregame show will be here before you know it. So have a good afternoon, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Sammy, our Padres pre- and post-game show host. I guess there's just the craving that if they had a good week this week, which they can, we want it to mean something. We want it to be a sign that, yeah, our team's going to be okay, that they're headed in the right direction.
We're on the right track.
And you can't really ever do that with the San Diego Padres team.
The promise of the run is like a country song. It's like a bad bro country song. I should write it today at home with my guitar, the promise of the run, because it's really what's graying me. And
they haven't had a meaningful run.
Yeah, the meaningful run.
The end of the 22 season. When the end of the regular season, they came on strong to clinch a playoff spot and then rolled that into the playoffs until they hit the Phillies. Before that, they didn't have a meaningful run until the start of the 2021 season, when they actually did play really well. They got to like 18 games above 500. Yep. Before the epic and utter collapse of the second half of 2021, but that's a long time to go. I would imagine that most baseball teams have had two or three fairly meaningful runs since then, when the Padres really just have not had any meaningful, sustained run of baseball.
Bro, it's like putting up a fence. Right, and you get halfway done, the wind knocks it over.
Like a month where they really made some great inroads.
Yeah.
You know, moving up in the standings, putting a little cushion between them and other teams. It just hasn't happened in years now.
Yep.
Years. Yeah, and that's really what we all crave.
Get it all done, get the holes dug, get the posts in, get a couple boards put on, and then boom,
you don't want to constantly feel like you're in a fixer-upper all the time.
100%.
And the Padres,
it's like a
money
pit.
They never give you a chance to feel like, okay. All right, congratulations to Julie, won the Doobie Brothers tickets. I think we'll just say it now. Listen all week long for the sounder to win. And I'll remind you every day, but it's me singing What a Fool Believes. And when you hear that, call in and we'll have more tickets
to
give
away.
But
what a fool believes!
There's your sounder for the rest of the week. For Doobie Brothers
That's
tickets.
That's all you need to hear.
That's all you need to hear.
The rest of the week.
Keep a note. Make sure our number's programmed into your phone so you can instantly go right to it. Speed dial us, 833-288-0973, to win those Doobie Brothers tickets. All right, we got Sam Levitt standing by. In-season Sammy will join us after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. And we're joined right now by our Padres pre- and post-game show host. He'll be joining us for the EcoWater SoCal pregame show. Not too long from now, Padres and Phillies at 3:40 p.m., so that means 2:40 today for the EcoWater SoCal pregame show. Say hello to Sammy Levitt. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, guys. How you doing? Happy Father's Day Ben, Woodsy.
Thank
you. Had a great day.
We did, man. You're out of your submarine. You sound fantastic this morning.
I can't risk it. I have bad service here in the apartment, especially if I go to one spot in my kitchen here in PB. But it's specifically this, like, half-mile radius in PB. The service is not great, so I was not all surprised that things got a little wacky last time. So yes, we are on the Zoom. We've got the mic hooked up, the whole deal.
Yeah, his mission is over. He's returned to shore.
I like it. I like it. A lot of things to regret from this weekend. We talked a little bit about the opportunity to gain some ground on the Dodgers. One thing I hadn't brought up yet, Sam, though, is that when you look at the National League standings, and while we're about almost halfway through the season, there is a logjam of like nine teams separated by just two games. The more teams that are there, the harder it is to make the playoffs. And you had a chance to maybe change the course of the Mets season by having a good weekend and keeping them way at the bottom and thinking about the trade deadline as sellers. Now the Mets have no reason not to be one of the teams that's going for it as well in the National League, because the Padres got them right back in it with this weekend series.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt about it. When you just think about the Mets in particular, the Padres had a real opportunity to set them back. I mean, look, to the Mets' credit, they've been playing better baseball as of late. And if you would have asked somebody 2-3 weeks ago about what they were going to do as July approaches and the trade deadline ultimately approaches in 5-6 weeks, whatever it is now, I think it would have been a pretty confident answer that that's a team that's going to sell. But this National League is so wide open, and I suppose that what the Mets have done is maybe a bit of a good reminder that if you can put together a good stretch for a couple of weeks, you can change the fortunes of your season pretty quickly. And I guess in the Padres' case, that means you could go from hovering around 500 and still somehow holding a wild card spot to taking command of a wild card spot. So it's a good reminder of how quickly things can change if you can go on a bit of a run. But in the Mets' case, look, that's a team that, despite having a number of issues, also has a lot of star power on it. So, look, that's a team that if they keep playing well, is going to be in the mix. But everybody right now, aside really from two teams in the NL, are in the mix, which is good for the Padres because it means they're right there. But obviously it means, you know, you have a bad 7 days against two of the best teams in the NL coming up in the Phillies and the Brewers. You could all of a sudden, you know, find yourself way down in those NL standings. So I think a pretty crucial 7-game stretch coming up against some very good competition for this Padres team.
Talking to Sammy Levitt here on Ben and Woods, and you mentioned, you know, a run. We could go on a run. The promise of the run is what I think has been driving me personally. Can't speak for anybody else other than myself. The promise of the run is why my hair is now gray for the most part on the sides. You guys see, it's gray. My sideburns are gray. I'm gray. And it's because of that promise of the run. And you look at the players on the field and you go, yeah, yeah, those guys are capable of a run. Hell yeah, they are. You look at the pitching staff. You look at the back end of the bullpen. It's a no-brainer. We got all these pieces. I don't know.
From the question marks.
Correct.
Like Profar,
yes.
And Merrill.
Yeah. The question marks producing. And you're like, this team is poised for a run. Sammy, we've been poised for a run since opening day of 2023. And it just hasn't come yet, really. And it's the most frustrating part.
Yeah. And I think it goes back farther than that, right? I mean, I saw the same number that Chris has been putting out with the 173 and 173.
Crazy, man.
Since
crazy.
Exactly 2 years ago. And look, I think if we're being honest about it, that's what they've been going back to June of 2022. You know, the numbers work it out where it all ends up being 500. But really, aside from playing well down the stretch in 22 and then having a great a few weeks in October, right, where they created some magic. And then, look, this team, I think, is capable of doing something like that again. But I thought your conversation, I only heard the 6 a.m. hour. I thought it echoed a lot of what I've thought recently about my own coverage of this team. And I thought it was a worthwhile conversation you guys were having.
Yeah, Benny blew me away with that.
Yeah, I think, you know, as I've just on a personal note, as I've gained more experience in this job, I feel like I've become you know, a little bit more opinionated on what this team does day to day, week to week. And you'll hear that during our post game coverage every day, the way I open the show and whatnot. And I've just, you know, to this point, I've just stopped kind of trying to string things together game by game, week by week, month by month, make proclamations about what they are and what they aren't, because it's really, really hard to do with this team. So, you know, I've much more taken the last couple of weeks, especially a game by game approach of it, of what happened today. I don't know that that's going to have any impact on tomorrow, right? I don't know that there's going to be any momentum either way, right? When they got swept by the Angels, you know, the world was crashing down. And meanwhile, they were able to bounce back with a 5-2 homestand. And we've gone through this carousel before of momentum where you just can't figure it out day by day and week by week. It just does not make a lot of sense. And guys, I've been talking to you on Mondays for the last two seasons. We've had this conversation how many times, right? About going in this circle. But I do think like the Phillies are a good example of, okay, when you look at the Phillies and, you know, they're the team of the week here. But when you look at, okay, how does a team go on that quote unquote run? Well, you look at the Phillies who are 37-16 against teams with losing records so far this season, a team that's won 23 of 26 home games, a team who has a lot of stars that put up some really big numbers. And I think it starts to come together. Oh, that's how you go on the run. You play well at home. You beat up the teams you should beat. Your stars put up big time numbers. And, you know, the Padres this season haven't, you know, if you want to look at those three categories, really, they haven't done that, and they haven't necessarily received that for the most part. So, you know, for me right now, I'm game to game. I'm day to day, and aren't we all?
Yeah, right?
We're all
good.
I was gonna... game to game, and we take it from there, because I'm with you guys. It's a hard team to figure out day by day and week by week, and it's been that way for a while.
I'm glad you said that. We're talking to Sam Levitt, our Padres pre- and post-game show host, because I was just about to offer up some unsolicited advice.
Oh, boy. Oh, no. Here we go again.
Which, if I offered it to you, Sammy, usually the answer is no, thank you. I will pass.
Go for it.
On the unsolicited advice. And I won't tell anybody how to fan, and I won't really tell anyone how to media either, but I'll give you my experience. When you cover a baseball team, and I've covered the Padres for a very long time, it becomes very easy to get cynical about the whole process. And you see some of the more veteran members of the media become very cynical when covering the team. And I've tried very hard to avoid that. And I try to approach each season, really each game, as its own individual. It's a different group of personalities, different group of people. But it's very easy to fall into the trap that the San Diego Padres, they're underachievers. They're never going to get there because they haven't. So you just kind of assume that they won't. And I've really tried to remain open-minded and, you know, approach it, you know, not overly positive necessarily, Woods, but
hopeful,
but remain at least open to the possibility that better things could be ahead. And I think that's why some people sometimes say I have rose colored glasses or I'm not tough enough on the team. No, I'm just open to the possibility that things can get better at some point when I see that. And I appreciate, Sammy, that you said that just take it day to day, you know, don't throw them away yet. You know, it's too premature to do that.
No, you won't anyway. I mean, the loudest complainers are they're there every day, like we all are. I mean, I still build my day. What time's the game today? 3:40?
3:40.
Yeah, I mean, I've got I got a T-ball camp I got to do. I'm going to be hauling ass or watching it on my phone. Again, I still can't wait to see. But what I don't want to start tuning in for is the how will they blow this today? Because we have covered those Padres as well, and those aren't fun. You know, hey, how are you guys going to F this up today? That's also not a fun way to watch your favorite team.
Yeah, look, I fall in line with everything, you know, you guys said there, and Ben, what you said. I mean, yeah, I think, you know, as silly as it sounds, I think, you know, if I were to give advice to a fan, not that you want to tell people how to fan, but yeah, it's like take it day by day, right? And look, I think what's unique about the Padres situation and is unique to them outside maybe other 500 teams, really two things, right? We've seen this story now for a while going back to last year. And look, I don't think we can kid ourselves. There is, I think, this season, for better or worse, I do think there is sort of the carryover from last year in a lot of people's minds, right? It's hard to shake last year. And I know in the first couple of months of the season, I said to myself, I said, how long can you talk about last year, reference last year, make the links to last year? But it happened last year, and the disappointment of last year happened. So I do think, you know, throughout the course of this year, there's going to be some of that. But, you know, look, I think what's tantalizing about this group is you just feel, and I think we all do, that there's more in there, right? And there's something in there that has not been unleashed over the course of the past year and a half. And I think that's why we all think, hey, you just got to get in, because number one, you feel like the talent's there. And number two, we've seen it before, right? Just in the last couple of years in 22, if you just get in, what this group and what some of these guys can do. But yeah, I'm right now, for me, I'm very much in the way I think about the team, talk about the team, you know, take it day by day. If the Padres beat the Phillies tonight, awesome. You're back to 500. You got to do it again tomorrow. But would it shock anyone based on what they've done over the course of the past year plus? If they had a really nice 7-game stretch against the Phillies and the Brewers, I don't think any of us would be shocked, because that's what, you know, that's what they've done in the past. So, yeah, day by day right now. And I think you hope at some point there's a pull away and a securing of a postseason spot, whether that happens in June or July or August or September, and you take things from there. But, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, we're sitting here on a Monday morning, and I think we can all sort of feel it. There's not always like the greatest answers, right? When you talk about this team, or definitive answers, or ways you can kind of figure it out, because it's been by the numbers and by the records and by all the different things you look at, you know, sort of inexplainable in some different ways over the course of the past year or so.
Sammy, enjoy the rest of your morning. The pregame show will be here before you know it. So have a good afternoon, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Sam Lovett, our Padres pre- and post-game show host. I guess there's just the craving that if they had a good week this week, which they can, we want it to mean something. We want it to be a sign that, yeah, our team's going to be okay, that they're headed in the right direction.
We're on the right track.
And you can't really ever do that with the San Diego Padres team.
The promise of the run is like a country song. It's like a bad bro country song. I should write it today at home with my guitar, the promise of the run, because it's really what's graying me. And
they haven't had a meaningful run.
Yeah, the meaningful run.
The end of the 22 season, when the end of the regular season, they came on strong to clinch a playoff spot and then rolled that into the playoffs until they hit the Phillies. Before that, they didn't have a meaningful run until the start of the 2021 season, when they actually did play really well. They got to like 18 games above 500. Yep. Before the epic and utter collapse of the second half of 2021, but that's a long time to go. I would imagine that most baseball teams have had two or three fairly meaningful runs since then, when the Padres really just have not had any meaningful, sustained run of baseball.
Bro, it's like putting up a fence. Right, and you get halfway done, the wind knocks it over.
Like a month where they really made some great inroads.
Yeah.
You know, moving up in the standings, putting a little cushion between them and other teams. It just hasn't happened in years now.
Yeah.
Years.
Yeah,
really what we all crave.
Get it all done, get the holes dug, get the posts in, get a couple boards put on, and then boom,
you don't want to constantly feel like you're in a fixer-upper all the time.
100%.
And the Padres,
it's like a
money
pit.
They never give you a chance to feel like, okay, they're in a good, secure position after this nice run they've gone on.
Right.
Never.
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 It's been so long.
Now, they can all, you know, like in 2021, they can get there and then you can still, it's baseball, it can blow up in your face, but can we at least get there to that point for a moment? Just a moment's peace with our San Diego Padres?
Oh, God. It's almost bourbon time.
But get to the All-Star break. What are we, about three and a half weeks away?
Yeah.
Get to the All-Star break with a nice 3.5-week run where you get to 8 games above 500.
Yeah,
and we'll.
Sweet angel.
I know it's not going to happen, but wouldn't that be nice to sit through the All-Star break going, you know, I like where the Padres are right now.
Yeah.
They played some good baseball. I feel good about where they are in the standings. When's the last time you could feel good,
Tim said,
about where the Padres are?
Tim said, no peace, all chaos. It's exactly right. It's exactly right. Yeah, if they're, what did you say? What did you want them to be at?
It's been 8 games
above 500.
8 games above 500. You should get the Morgan Wallen cut if they go eight games above 500.
I mean, it sounds... Paulie,
would you do that? Would you get the Morgan Wallen cut?
No.
Come on.
They win the World Series.
Fine. I'm with you.
It sounds ridiculous. They have about... looks like about 22 games. I mean, so they have to go, you know, like 16 and 8 or 15 and 7. It sounds... I mean, that's not... Teams do that
they
all
do
the time.
They do it all the time!
It's not the Padres.
It's not here.
All right, we'll come back. Matt Strami's going to join us in our final hour coming up on Ben and Woods.